We've been paying tribute this evening to Daniel Kahneman, the psychologist who won a Nobel Prize for economics. He did it by proving that humans, despite our belief that we are rational, are deeply irrational when it comes to economic issues. And I wonder whether or not the decision to stand up and refuse to pay e-tolls was a sensible economic decision. Certainly, a lot of people would defend it as a political decision, say that people, the government was behaving in an unjust fashion by imposing a ridiculous, expensive road system with its outrageous gantries and ludicrous repayments to foreign companies that had installed these elaborate systems to capture the little tags on what should have gone on your windscreen, and most of you didn't ever bother installing. The system brought down by popular dissent. And today, the official end of the e-tolls program. That's brilliant. Here's the problem, though. The money has been spent and has to be repaid. Kai Sitole is independent political analyst, and he's with us from Johannesburg this evening. And I wonder if it is a rational decision bias. It was an emotional decision. It was a political decision. It was a popular decision. But was it a sensible economic decision? Kai, put your accountant hat on.
Oh, good evening to the listeners. I think the complexity here is that obviously when the economics are at play, it definitely wasn't the type of decision that would withstand the economic fundamentals. And when we talk about the economic fundamentals of public policymaking, it's very clear that public infrastructure and public resources have to be funded. And I think the ways in which they can be funded is that you can obviously go for the general taxes. But of course, the resistance by the government towards that was a simple fact that, well, actually, the benefit was going to primarily accrue to you and I who were driving on the roads of Gauteng. So therefore, it did not seem fair, as far as the government was concerned, to have a general tax as the solution to this. So of course, they then went for the user pay model. The primary mistake that they made with the user pay model, besides the question of consultation, was the simple way in which they decided to implement it. And they implemented it in a way that you and I could find a way to resist, and you and I could find a way to say, no, I actually am not interested in this. And I think the most important example that we can use is if you look, for example, at the increase in VAT that we saw a couple of years ago from 14% to 15%. If you had asked anyone if they agreed with that, the answer would have been the same as it is, those to say, no, I would prefer that it doesn't happen. But because the government found a way to implement it that didn't give us the latitude or the capacity to resist and withhold the money, we had to live with it. And the e-tolls model was simply very different in the sense that there were so many odd avenues for people to say hell no, and people did say hell no for a better part of a decade.
And we still have to pay for it, though. So somehow, by hook or by crook, or by hook or by crooks in this particular case, we still have to pay the cost. It gets spread more widely because it gets paid across every taxpayer. But it's an unfair thing because, again, not that many people in South Africa pay tax, and they already are taxed to the hilt. And some of that tax money now, in an already strained budget, has to go to pay this bill. You know, whether we want to or not, we're paying for it.
Yes, and I think the interesting development here is that we've moved from the original question of where the South African citizens at large should pay for it through the national fiscus, and the answer was simply no, to the secondary question of whether only those that use the roads and do not have exemptions. Remember, taxis, for example, have had an exemption. That's what the government wanted to put in place so that only the road users would pay. Now we've ended up with a model that says that all the citizens of Gauteng are essentially responsible for this because it has now moved onto the provincial balance sheet. But even that is an incomplete assessment because only 30% of it has moved to the provincial balance sheet. The rest of it, the 70%, has actually then been simply allocated to the national balance sheet because National Treasury is going to pay for it. So the answer here is that what we're now facing is that the citizens of Gauteng are responsible not only for their share of the 70%, which is obviously going to be absorbed by the national fiscus at large, but also then specifically for the 30% share from the provincial budget. The problem, unfortunately, Bruce, is that the provincial budget doesn't have the capacity right now to absorb its share, which is around 13 billion rand based on today's numbers. So it's going to be a very expensive exercise. It's an expensive decision, but it's a decision that's become more expensive the longer it was delayed. For a whole decade where the decision wasn't made, it simply started accumulating. And of course, now we've got the 13 billion rand, which is the capital today, and the simple question of the maintenance backlog, which is another 4 billion rand. So we've got an 18 billion rand problem that we've inherited through this gazette.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kaiser Tole. I mean, you know, you may have objected to it. I was one of the people who had an e-tolls tag. I topped it up and, you know, pinged every time I went under simply because, I don't know, didn't want the hassle of not doing it. But there were lots of people who objected. And, yep, you won the day. Was it the rational thing to do?